Hello, this is Beatrice Pavia with the Pantograph, Part 1 of Friday, June 5th, 2020. We are going to start with the front page, and the big story is headlined, Healing Vigil, Interfaith Virtual Gathering Calls for Peace, Justice, Unity. It's datelined Bloomington. Religious leaders across McLean County prayed, sang praise, and shared words of encouragement during a virtual vigil Thursday as protests continue in the wake of George Floyd's death May 25th at the hands of police in Minneapolis. Lord, in this critical moment of unrest, I confess the challenges of my heart and pray that I am not consumed by the constancy of systemic racism and the injustices of its oppression, the Reverend B. Elliot Renfro, with Westminster Village in Bloomington, prayed during the vigil. Bring to an end the marginalization of people of color and raise up the hope onto which we hold fast. Despite the historic past, may we see a greater future, he said. The McLean County Interfaith Alliance and Not in Our Town, Bloomington Normal, hosted the vigil Thursday evening, which followed a 6 a.m. prayer walk in downtown Bloomington Thursday morning. A second prayer walk will be at the same time Friday in Uptown Normal. Black Lives Matter, Bloomington Normal, also will have a public meeting at 4 p.m. Sunday at the Miller Park Pavilion in Bloomington. The vigil and walks follow several days of community protests, peaceful rallies, and vandalism, both nationwide and in McLean County, drawing hundreds of people locally to bring awareness to endemic racism and police brutality. We don't want anybody to be treated as we have been treated, and so we will continue to have conversations with our leaders and law enforcement, and we will continue to tackle the hard questions, Linda Foster, president of the Bloomington Normal NAACP, said of the recent protests and rallies. As a whole, we know that as much as we have done, there is much more required. While the local NAACP chapter has not planned any additional protests since Sunday, Foster said the organization is developing a strategic plan to work with local municipalities and law enforcement agencies and address institutional racism. We know that they are faced with policy and procedures that have been in place for many years, and fresh eyes on it, we believe, is going to make a big difference, she said, adding that the organization is ecstatic with the community response and the sea of diversity at the protests and rallies. We have been working on this thing for a while, said Foster. This will not be the first time we will be sitting down together and addressing issues. The peaceful protests have gone head-to-head with violence and looting as people broke into several businesses, leading to the arrest of 22 people locally. Incidents have appeared to slow down over the past two nights. A 31-year-old Bloomington man turned himself in Wednesday after allegedly releasing a smoke device outside the McLean County Law and Justice Center following a peaceful rally that day in downtown Bloomington. The man is expected to appear in court Friday to face charges of reckless conduct, aggravated assault, and aggravated battery. The Pantograph does not use names of suspects in such until they have been formally charged. A small child fell and suffered a small cut on an eye when the crowd started running during the incident, but there were no other serious injuries. The next front page story comes from Minneapolis. It's headlined, Fiery Words Mark Memorial. Sharpton's eulogy demands, Get Your Knee Off Our Necks. Celebrities, musicians, and political leaders gathered in front of George Floyd's golden casket Thursday for a fiery memorial service for the man whose death at the hands of police sparked global protests, with a civil rights leader declaring it is time for black people to demand, Get Your Knee Off Our Necks. The service, the first in a series of memorials set for three cities over 6 days, unfolded in Minneapolis at a sanctuary at North Central University as a judge a few blocks away set bail at $75,000 each for the three fired police officers charged with aiding and abetting a murder in Floyd's death. George Floyd's story has been the story of black folks, because ever since 401 years ago, the reason we could never be who we wanted and dreamed to be is, you kept your knee on our neck, the Reverend Al Sharpton said in a fierce eulogy. It is time for us to stand up in George's name and say, get your knee off our necks. Floyd, a 46-year-old out-of-work bouncer, died May 25th after a white police officer, Derek Chauvin, put his knee on Floyd's neck for several minutes as he lay handcuffed on the pavement, gasping that he could not breathe. Chauvin has been charged with murder, and he and the others could get up to 40 years in prison. Those gathered at the Minneapolis tribute stood in silence for 8 minutes and 46 seconds, the amount of time that Floyd was alleged to be on the ground under the control of police. Sharpton vowed that this will become a movement to change the whole system of justice. The service drew the Reverend Jesse Jackson, Senator Amy Klobuchar, and other members of Congress, including Representatives Ilhan Omar, Sheila Jackson Lee, and Nyana Presley. Among the celebrities in attendance were T.I., Ludacris, Tyrese Gibson, Kevin Hart, Tiffany Haddish, and Marsai Martin. All these people came to see my brother, Philanese Floyd told the crowd at the memorial. That is amazing to me that he touched so many people's hearts because he touched our hearts. The casket was covered in red roses, and a vibrant image was projected over the pulpit of a mural of Floyd painted at the street corner where he was arrested by police on suspicion of passing a counterfeit $20 bill at a convenience store. The message on the mural, I can breathe now. His body goes next to Rayford, North Carolina, where he was born, for a public viewing and private family service on Saturday. A public viewing will be held Monday in Houston, where he was raised and lived most of his life. In the United States, where protests had been marked by bouts of lawlessness since last week, relative quiet prevailed for a third straight night Thursday. In New York City, a large crowd gathered at Brooklyn's Cadman Plaza and chanted, "You are not alone," in a rally with one of George Floyd's brothers. "I thank God for you all showing love to my brother," said an emotional Terrence Floyd. Peaceful demonstrations continued past the city's 8 p.m. curfew, even as Governor Andrew Cuomo and Mayor Bill de Blasio sought to deflect criticism over harsh tactics from police enforcing the curfew the night before. The police did not immediately move in to make arrests. In Washington, the law enforcement presence was much lighter compared to the previous night, and thousands of people marched peacefully from near the White House to the Lincoln Memorial. Police cleared the largely empty streets of cars just ahead of the demonstrators' path, and the protesters broke up before dark as a heavy rain began. And the last front page story is a national one, headlined, 1.9 million file for jobless benefits. Reopening slows but doesn't halt job cuts. Nearly 1.9 million people applied for U.S. unemployment benefits last week, evidence that many employers are still cutting jobs even as the gradual reopening of businesses has slowed the pace of layoffs. And several authors of a large study that raised safety concerns about malaria drugs for coronavirus patients have retracted the report, saying independent reviewers were not able to verify information that's been widely questioned by other scientists. The total number of people who are receiving jobless aid rose slightly to 21.5 million, down from a peak of nearly 25 million 2 weeks ago, but still at a historically high level. It shows that scattered rehiring is offsetting only some of the ongoing layoffs, with the economy mired in a recession. Thursday's latest weekly number from the Labor Department is still more than double the record high that prevailed before the viral outbreak. Still, the number of people who applied for benefits last week marked the ninth straight decline since applications spiked in mid-March. The job market meltdown that was triggered by the coronavirus may have bottomed out as more companies call at least some of their former employees back to work. Economists said they were disappointed, though, that the number of first-time applications for jobless aid and the total number of people receiving benefits remain so high. While the drop in new claims is welcome news and more evidence that the worst of the job losses are behind us, the recovery in the labor market is expected to be painfully slow, said Gregory Dako, chief U.S. economist at Oxford Economics. We look for a two-phase recovery with an initial burst in rehiring, followed by a much slower retracement of job losses. Fewer people sought jobless aid last week in 47 states and in Washington, D.C., while the number rose in just California, Florida, and Mississippi. The total number of people receiving aid fell in 37 states and in D.C. and increased in 13 states. Applications for jobless benefits are falling in states that had reopened their businesses early, such as Georgia and Texas, and they are also declining in those that are still early in the reopening process, such as New York and Massachusetts. In addition to the laid-off employees who applied for benefits last week, 623,000 others sought jobless aid under a new program for self-employed and gig workers who now qualify for unemployment benefits for the first time. These figures aren't adjusted for seasonal variations, so the government does not include them in the overall data. And 15 states still aren't reporting the number of applicants under this program, meaning that the data is incomplete. The figures come one day before the government's jobs report for May is expected to show that employers slashed 8 million jobs last month and that the unemployment rate jumped from 14.7% to 19.8%. And since mid-March, 42.7 million people have applied for unemployment benefits. Meanwhile, Thursday's retraction in the journal Lancet involved a May 22nd report on hydroxychloroquine and chloroquine, which are drugs long used for preventing or treating malaria, but whose safety and effectiveness for COVID-19 are unknown. The study leaders also retracted an earlier report using the same company's database on blood pressure drugs published by the New England Journal of Medicine. That study suggested that widely used blood pressure medicines were safe for coronavirus patients, a conclusion that some other studies and heart doctor groups also have reached. Even though the Lancet report was not a rigorous test, the observational study had huge impacts because of its size, reportedly involving more than 96,000 patients and 671 hospitals on six continents. Its conclusion that the drugs were tied to a higher risk of death and heart problems in people hospitalized with COVID-19 led the World Health Organization to temporarily stop use of hydroxychloroquine in a study that it is leading, and for French officials to stop allowing its use in hospitals there. Earlier this week, WHO said experts who reviewed safety information decided that its study could resume. Not only is there no benefit, but we saw a very consistent signal of harm, study leader Dr. Mandeep Mehra of Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston told the Associated Press when the work was published. We're going to move now to local and state news. This page is dominated by a beautiful color photograph of a diverse group of people praying on the street. And the caption says, "Taking prayer to the streets." People pray early Thursday in downtown Bloomington as part of a prayer walk that organizers plan to repeat at 6 a.m. Friday in Uptown Normal. The gatherings follow a week of protests and vandalism connected to the death of George Floyd, a black man who died at the hands of police May 25th in Minneapolis. And the major story on this page is headlined, "Three more charged in Bloomington Normal looting. Police say one threw rock into police car windshield." This story is datelined Bloomington. Three more people have been formally charged with felony crimes after two nights of looting and vandalism in the Twin Cities, including one man accused of injuring a Bloomington police officer. The incidents followed nonviolent local marches and rallies protesting the death of George Floyd on May 25th at the hands of police in Minneapolis. Micah Paquette, age 22, of Bloomington, was charged with Class 2 felony aggravated battery, Class 2 felony burglary, Class 4 looting, Class 4 mob action, and Class 4 criminal damage to government-supported property, a police vehicle, related to an incident at Kohl's at Eastland Mall. McLean County Assistant State's Attorney Don Rood III, reading from a probable cause statement Thursday in court, said that as a large angry mob had descended on the location shortly before midnight Monday, Paquette approached a marked police vehicle parked outside the store, occupied by three uniformed officers. Paquette proceeded to forcefully hurl a large rock into the vehicle windshield more than once. The rock shattered the police vehicle windshield and sent shards of broken glass into the vehicle and struck one of the officers in his face, according to the probable cause statement. Paquette then went to the glass entrance doors of the store and, along with a group of people, threw rocks at the building, Rood said. Paquette was seen punching a glass pane. When Bloomington police arrested Paquette at his residence on Tuesday, they recovered several boxes of jewelry that had Kohl's sales tags on them, according to the probable cause statement. The statement said Paquette admitted damaging the glass entrance to the store and was medically treated for an injury to his hand. Judge Pablo Eves set bail at $500,000. Paquette will have to post $50,035 to be released from jail. A preliminary hearing is set for June 26th. And other cases are tied to Sunday night's looting of the Target store in Normal. Christopher L. Knotts, age 22, of Bloomington, is charged with Class 4 theft, accused of stealing a damaged police protective riot shield that had been placed outside the building. Knotts was arrested Wednesday morning after a juvenile relative posted a picture of the police equipment on social media. Bail was set for Knotts at $45,000, meaning he will have to post $4,535 to be released. A preliminary hearing is set for June 26th. Jordan Gilliam, age 19, of Leroy, was formally charged with one count each of Class 2 felony burglary and Class 4 looting, and four counts of Class 4 felony mob action. His bail was set at $100,000. He will have to post $10,035 for release. His brother, Matthew Gilliam, age 24, also of Leroy, faces four counts of Class 4 felony mob action. He was charged Wednesday and was jailed in lieu of $10,035. The brothers were arrested by Normal police after Matthew Gilliam showed Leroy police responding Monday to a disturbance at the brothers' residence, merchandise stolen from Target during the looting spree. Their preliminary hearings are June 26th. After the store had been burglarized and looted by several people, normal police officers positioned themselves at the front of the building, court documents said. A large group of people, including the Gilliam brothers, approached the officers and loudly chanted and then violently hurled rocks and bottles of water at police, according to a probable cause statement. One of those officers suffered a bruise to his arm when someone hurled a projectile at the officer, said the probable cause statement. Normal police vehicles also were damaged. The Gilliam brothers were seen discharging fireworks at police, the statement said. At the Gilliams' home, police recovered numerous items stolen from Target, including an Apple iPhone, Apple iPhone cases, an Apple Watch, headphones, backpacks, and a bottle of alcohol, according to the probable cause statement. This next local story is headlined, No New McLean County Cases, COVID Test Site Now Open to All. It's datelined Bloomington. No new COVID-19 cases were announced in McLean County by the County Health Department on Thursday, meaning the county's total number of people who have tested positive for the novel virus since March 19 remains at 223. Meanwhile, the state announced Thursday that community-based COVID-19 testing sites, including the one at the McLean County Fairgrounds at 1106 Interstate Drive in Bloomington, are now open to people even if they have no COVID systems. As we move forward, COVID-19 testing must be widely available, and this is a step in that direction, Illinois Emergency Management Agency Director Alicia Tate Nadeau said in a statement. Dr. Aaron Rossi, CEO of Reditis Laboratories, said during a McLean County Health Department Facebook Live briefing on Wednesday that the Bloomington testing site is open to anyone, even if they have no symptoms, providing that they can complete the nasal self-swab test. Reditis has performed testing at the Bloomington site since May 24th, after the Illinois National Guard, which had done testing there since March 28th, moved to a site in Peoria. Of the 223 confirmed cases in McLean County, 189 people have recovered, 18 are at home in isolation, and 3 are hospitalized, the health department said Thursday. 13 McLean County residents have died of the virus since March, and no new deaths were announced Thursday. Asked by the Pantograph whether any of the new McLean County cases announced earlier this week were related to businesses reopening or the hundreds of people who have been rallying and protesting this week against racism, the health department said in a written statement, "It is still early for us to know if we will see many cases from the recent gatherings and reopenings. We encourage anyone who has participated in these to be monitoring themselves for symptoms, which typically appear 2 to 14 days after exposure," the health department statement continued. "Also, be aware of the possibility that you could contract the virus and not show symptoms, so be careful to continue to practice social distancing and face covering to protect those around you," the health department said. Illinois Department of Public Health Director Dr. Ngozi Ezike said, "I urge anyone who recently attended a rally, protest, or other mass gatherings to get tested for COVID-19 so we can identify any cases early. If there are known cases, we can make sure those people are quarantined and not exposing other individuals." LaSalle County Health Department said Thursday that a male LaSalle County resident in his 70s who had tested positive for COVID-19 earlier had died, bringing to 16 the number of COVID-related deaths in LaSalle County. That health department further announced 3 new confirmed COVID cases, all men in their 40s, bringing to 159 the number of LaSalle County residents who have had confirmed cases of the novel virus. Statewide, The Illinois Department of Public Health announced 929 new COVID cases on Thursday and 116 additional deaths. Since the novel virus hit Illinois earlier this year, 124,759 people have had confirmed cases and 5,736 have died. The Illinois Department of Public Health told the Pantograph that 73 people were tested on Wednesday and 94 people were tested Thursday at the McLean County Fairgrounds testing site. The site is open 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. daily, except holidays, for people in vehicles and pedestrians. No appointment or doctor referral is needed. Insurance will be billed, but people without insurance may be tested free of charge. A Connect Transit shuttle leaves the bus stop at the Bloomington Walmart and runs to the testing site every 15 minutes from 10 to 11:30 a.m. and 2 to 3:30 p.m. Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. And this state story from Chicago says, state lawmakers call for emergency session. Three members of the Illinois legislature want lawmakers to return to Springfield for an emergency legislative session to address criminal justice reform and rebuilding communities in the wake of protests and subsequent civil unrest in recent days. The Chicago Sun-Times reports that in a letter to House Speaker Mike Madigan and Senate President Don Harmon, Representatives Cam Buckner, Curtis Tarver, and Lamont Robinson, all Democrats, say that communities cannot wait until the fall veto session to address the unrest resulting from the killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis. We are in a state of emergency and need to act immediately, they wrote. The COVID-19 pandemic has kept the General Assembly from Springfield, with lawmakers meeting in May for a four-day session to pass a budget and other legislation. At the time, legislators adjourned on May 24th, Harmon said he did not think anyone was eager to return for a special session. Spokesman for Madigan, House Republican leader Jim Durkin, and Senate GOP leader Bill Brady did not respond to requests for comment on the legislators' requests. However, a Harmon spokesman said the senator is eager to engage in building an agenda for action, but he did not clarify whether that means the Oak Park Democrat supports a special session. And here's today's flick fact. True or false, when Gus Belt opened the world's first Steak and Shake in Normal in the 1930s and offered a 10 steak burgers for a dollar special, folks thought he was nuts to charge that much. Answer? That is true. At Baker's in downtown Bloomington, as an example, they offered 22 hamburgers for $1. And this has been Beatrice Pavia with part one of the Pantograph of Friday, June 5th, 2020. I look forward to reading part two to you soon.